And so they're there all week, amen. They'll be here for next Sunday morning service. They'll be back. But, you know, pray for them that God will give them that time of rest and relaxation, amen, that they desperately need, amen. So they're blessed this morning. They're blessed sitting under the palm trees, and amen. But we still got beautiful weather here, amen. So we're going to take our beautiful, we're going to go to the north side, to the hood, amen, and preach the gospel after the service. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I'm going to be ministering here in the Word this morning. If you got your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 16. I really believe the Lord has a word for us this morning. The Lord's been stirring me. And I truly, truly believe that this message this morning can really be of help to all of us. And especially if you find yourself struggling a little bit. How many know we all struggle at times? I believe this message is going to hit us, amen. And we just got to allow God to speak, allow God to have his way. Amen. I want to mention that many of these points are not my own, amen. A powerful book by Jensen Franklin, powerful man of God. He wrote a book called The Spirit of Python. Powerful, powerful book. I challenge you to read it. Go get it and read it. Amen. By Jensen Franklin. It really helped you. It really helped me. Amen. So I pulled some of these points from his book because I think, you know, they're really beneficial to us. Amen. As the church of God. Amen. So I want to speak to you this morning on the spirit of Python. In Acts chapter 16, opening up in verse 16, the Bible says, once, this is Paul speaking, Paul and Silas. They're there ministering and preaching the gospel in different cities. And they're doing the work of God. But how many know, when you do the work of God, it doesn't come without opposition. It says, once when we were going to the place of prayer, so they had a meeting place of prayer that they would constantly go to. It says, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. I pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to be upon your word, to be upon the hearts of your people. Lord, that you would speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. So here at Paul and Silas, they were going to the place. They were going to pray. They were going to pray. How many know the enemy loves to stop us trying to pray? And it says that they were met there by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. Now, this spirit, amen, this fortune-telling spirit, amen, the original language, the Greek, it's really the literal translation would be a python spirit. And so she would follow Paul and shouting, "These men are servants of God, telling you the way to be saved." Now, that sounds like this spirit is promoting them, but really it was done in a mocking way. It was done in a way that they were not only mocking, but they were basically trying to take Paul and Silas, this spirit was trying to take Paul and Silas off focus from preaching the gospel and to bring annoyance and bring distraction because they were going to pray. But they were trying, this girl with the spirit was trying to bring distraction to the men of God and trying to hinder the work of the ministry. Here it says that she kept this up for many days, which tells you that Paul didn't rebuke the spirit right away. He might not even have realized that it was a spirit. It was just some girl shouting. Some girl, right? And he might not even have realized it right away. But after many days, Paul got a little bit annoyed that he was being hindered. The work was being hindered by this python spirit. And he turned around and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the spirit left her. This python spirit that tried to stop Paul because they were going to pray and they were going to preach the gospel. And anytime you try to pray, and anytime you have the intention of proclaiming and preaching the gospel, you better be ready, because the spirit of Python, the enemy's going to show up. The enemy's going to show up and try to hinder us coming to God and ministering to others to bring them to God. Why is it called the Python spirit? If we think about how the enemy works, because we're all in this race together, where we know that it's a fight, right? And we know that once we get saved, we have an adversary called the devil. And so I want to pull his covers a little bit this morning. Is that okay? We're going to pull the covers of the enemy this morning, and we're gonna put his tactics on Front Street, so it's not a secret how he works no more. Amen. So it's out in the open, so that when the attacks come, we will be able to recognize that it's the enemy. I believe many are defeated in the church because they're not recognizing that the enemy is attacking them. The spirit of Python is attacking them, and they don't even realize it. When we think about pythons, normal pythons, the snake, the serpent, how do they kill their prey? You see, pythons, they slither around, and they wait patiently for an opportune time. Pythons are not quick. They are not fast. If you ever seen a python slither on the ground or at the zoo, they are not very fast. They are extremely slow. So they're not going to run after you, but they're going to lie in wait for an opportune time, so that when their prey gets close enough, they jump on that prey. How many know? It's just like the enemy. The enemy is one that he's very patient. He's very patient with us. He's been doing this a long time. And he lies in wait, looking, waiting for an opportune time to have a grip on our lives. Like the Bible says, he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And so when a python gets close enough to a prey, quickly jumps on the prey, and the python doesn't have poisonous venom, but the python, how he kills his prey, he doesn't bite him, but he wraps himself around the prey. And everybody knows this, but a python wraps itself around the prey, and the muscles of the snake are so strong, he just starts squeezing the life right out of the prey. That every time the prey breathes in, the python grip, he gets it a little bit tighter every time the prey breathes in. So eventually, tightens his grip so much that the prey, whatever it is, cannot breathe anymore. Cannot breathe in. And how pythons kill their prey is slowly they suffocate their prey. Slowly suffocating. It's not a quick death, but it's a slow suffocation of the python. This is what was happening to Paul and Silas. This girl with the spirit was slowly sucking the life out of them, sucking the joy, sucking the prayer, sucking the word of God right out of their lives, until Paul became annoyed. Perhaps this is why Scripture in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, when it first introduces Satan, it calls him a serpent. Perhaps this is why the Bible immediately calls him a serpent, because this is how he kills his prey. He slowly tries to squeeze the breath out of us. He might not come with the quick bite to kill us instantly, but it's a slow thing. They were going to a place of prayer, which we know the enemy doesn't want us to have, a prayer life. The question I have is, why does the enemy, why does he want our breath? See, the enemy will do everything in his power to try to take your breath so you can't breathe anymore. Why does God want our breath? I mean, why does the enemy want our breath? Well, breath in Scripture, in the book of John, chapter 20, verse 22. John 20, verse 22. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says, "And with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit." You see, also in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, breath in the Bible is always symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Breath in the Bible is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed his breath, which means his Holy Spirit. Ezekiel 37, the prophet Ezekiel says, prophesying to the breath, breathe upon these that are slain. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. You see, the purpose and the plan of the enemy, of the serpent, of this python spirit, is that he wants to squeeze the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God right out of your life. See, because the last thing he wants is the Holy Ghost-filled, anointed men and women of God. And so if the devil can't stop you from getting saved, what he's going to try to do is try to squeeze the Spirit right out of you. Try to squeeze the anointing of God right out of your life so that you will not be victorious, but that you will be defeated, so that you will always be walking around bummed out, powerless. You see, we need the breath of God within our lives. We need the Holy Spirit of God within our lives. We need the anointing of God to do the work of the ministry. You see, because without the breath of God within our lives, we are dead. We are lifeless. We are powerless. There is no power. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Because we know what it's like to live without the Holy Spirit. Am I talking to the right church this morning? We know what it's like to live without the anointing of God. Before we got saved, when we were out there lost and bound, hooked on drugs, lost in the streets, we didn't have the anointing of God. We didn't have the Spirit of God. We were controlled by that spirit of Python. And I don't know about you, but when I was out there in the streets, I didn't have the victory. I didn't have the joy of the Lord within my life. But everywhere I go, there was death and destruction. So we need the breath of God within our lives. Can I get an amen? Jesus wants to breathe a fresh breath of God within our lives. Even in the beginning of creation, when God created Adam and Eve, he created their bodies, but they were still dead until God breathed into them. He said, receive life. Receive the Holy Spirit. Do we have the breath of God operating in our lives? You see, the spirit of Python, the enemy, wants to steal your breath, wants to steal the spirit and anointing from your life. And part of the reason why he wants to steal your breath, see, the breath of God, it represents our prayer life. Paul and Silas were going to the place of prayer, amen, communing with the Holy Spirit. He wants to take that breath. He wants to take that prayer life right out of you, squeeze it out of you. Part of the reason he wants to do that is because if you have no breath, you do not have a voice. How many know somebody that don't have breath, you can't speak very well? Anybody ever got the wind knocked out of them before? You can't speak. Somebody without breath can't speak. So the enemy wants to steal your breath because he wants to steal your voice. He wants to steal your prayer because he wants to steal your praise and your proclamation. He wants to steal your praise so you can't praise God no more. He wants to steal your proclamation so you can't preach the gospel and witness to others no more. He wants to steal your breath. What are some of the signs that you're under attack from the spirit of Python? I believe if we think about these signs, these traits, many of us might fit into some of them. And we might recognize this morning that, wow, I didn't even realize it, but I've been under attack from the spirit of Python this whole time. But by the end of the message, we're going to recognize it. We're going to shake that Python off. We're going to break free. And God's going to breathe afresh upon his church this morning. I believe that. What are some warning signs? These are red flags, warning signs that, man, the spirit of Python is trying to grip you. Number one, a loss of spiritual desire. A loss of spiritual desire. All of a sudden, you don't feel like praying no more. You don't feel like reading the Bible no more. You don't feel like coming to church no more. You don't feel like doing them spiritual things. You see, this is not something that just automatically happens overnight. This is something that happens slowly. As the issues within life begin to creep in on your relationship with God, all of a sudden you begin to lose that desire. That Python is slowly wrapping himself around you, slowly gripping, squeezing the life out of you, squeezing your spiritual desire. All of a sudden you become too busy to pray, too busy to read the Bible no more. And the spirit of Python got you right where he wants you. If you ever find yourself with a loss of spiritual desire, that's a warning sign that the Python spirit is trying to grip your life. And when you stop reading and you stop praying and when you stop developing your relationship with God, what's going to happen is that your life is no longer going to be influenced by the word of God and the presence of God, but your life is going to be influenced and dictated by the world's standards, not God's standards. And when you stop breathing in the Spirit of God on a daily basis through prayer and word, you're going to be, the spirit of the world is going to come upon you like a flood. And if you ain't breathing in the Spirit of God, you're breathing in the world. Because how many know, everywhere you go, it is the world on billboards, the world on the street corner, this worldly passions and worldly desires. And if you ain't breathing in the Spirit of God, how many know, it's easy to succumb to all that. You ain't going to have the power to resist because the world is strong and they got some strong spirits. Strong spirits. Last night I was for work. I wasn't going to share this, but I was driving. I drive for a living. For those that don't know, I drive bus. Hey, man, I had to drive some shuttles for Summerfest. And oh, my Lord. Till 2 in the morning, I had to, man, I could drive in these people right back. And they're all wasted and toasted, and I could feel the spirits of the enemy. I could just feel it. And I had to start praying. I said, oh, shakada baba. I had to pray in the spirit. Say, Lord, cover me. Because them are some strong, the world is strong. Thank God I was breathing in the spirit all day long to protect me from all that. You see, when you stop breathing in God's spirit through that personal relationship with God, the world starts creeping in. All of a sudden, instead of your mind being renewed by the word of God, all of a sudden your thinking becomes distorted. And you start thinking crazy and start thinking like the world, and that old thinking starts to creep up. Can I get a witness? Has anybody in here ever stopped praying before? And all of a sudden your thinking starts going wrong. You start thinking crazy thoughts. It's the world's mindset trying to creep in, and that python spirit trying to get a grip of your mind. Not only your thinking, but your values and your standards become worldly, no longer dictated by what thus saith the Lord and what the word of God says is right and wrong. All of a sudden now, the world, what the world says is right or wrong, it's okay. I could be with that guy, I could be with that girl, I could do this, I could do that, it's all good. It's not that bad, even though the word of God is clear. But if you ain't in fellowship with the word of God, those worldly standards are going to creep in, come in like a flood. That's warning number one, loss of spiritual desire. Some of us might fit that one. Warning sign number two that the spirit of Python is coming upon your life, physical fatigue. Anybody ever get tired? You see, we as created beings, we are created spirit, soul, and body. And when one is weak, the other parts will be affected. If your body is weak, it will affect your soul and it will affect your spirit, because it will be hard to pray and it will be hard to press in. And so what the enemy will do as a tactic with that spirit of Python, he'll come and he'll attack your body. He'll attack your body so that it affects your spirit. All of a sudden, man, you're so tired you can't even get up in the morning to come to church. Oh, I'm speaking to those that ain't here this morning. Physical fatigue. Now, it isn't always an attack of the enemy, because some of us don't take care of our bodies too well. But sometimes, it's that physical fatigue that's, if it's hindering you from praying and hindering you from breathing in the Spirit of God, it's that Python spirit. And you got to do what you got to do to shake that off, to get you some energy. Sometimes the best thing to do is take a nap. Amen. But sometimes you got to press in. But physical fatigue, it's a warning sign. The enemy attacks your physical body. Isn't that what he did in the end to Job in the Bible? He took his family, attacked his family. That didn't work. So in the end, he tried to attack his body and afflict him with all kinds of sickness and disease. And he said, okay, now I'm gonna try to take your voice so you curse God. Job said, you ain't taking my voice. I'm gonna bless God. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It didn't work. Job recognized that Python spirit, said, it ain't happening. I'm still going to praise God. You ain't taking my breath. You ain't taking my voice. Third warning sign that you're under attack is a lack attack. What I mean by a lack attack is it seems like all at the same time, all your resources are drying up. You lost your job, and all of a sudden your car breaks down. Then the washing machine breaks, right? Then you got pulled over. All of a sudden, all your money and your resources just drying up all at once. This could be an attack of the enemy. You see, because what the enemy wants to do is he wants to take your focus off of God and put it on money and put it on resources and put it on your circumstances. So he'll start drying up your resources, so that you will kind of leave God and say, okay, I got to make it happen and get some more resources. And God understands why I got to make all this money. God understands. No, it's attack of the enemy. That Python spirit, because he's trying to take your breath and he's trying to take your voice. When you begin to focus on the problem rather than God's promises. So when we come under that lack attack and the enemy starts attacking our finances and he starts attacking our resources, we gotta go to God's word and continue to breathe in God's spirit and say, no, God, you are my provider. You are Jehovah Jireh. Amen? If these are drying up, it's because you got something better for me. I think about the prophet Elijah. God was feeding him at the brook. amen, with water. And he even had ravens come and fly and bring him some food. But it says one day the brook dried up. He was going through a lack attack. But God allowed that brook to dry it up because God has something greater for him. And he went into Zarephath and he performed a miracle. And his life was no longer just for himself, but he became a blessing to somebody else. The brook dried up. So when your brook dries out, when the lack starts coming, don't start fretting. Amen. Start praising God that God's going to open up a new door. So some are under a lack attack. Another warning sign that you're under attack from the python spirit is a weak prayer life. A weak prayer life. Matthew chapter 26, verse 40 and 41. Jesus said to his disciples, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Jesus asked his disciples. Then he told them, "Watch and pray, lest you enter temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." You see, the key to a spiritual life is to inhale the word of God and to exhale prayer back to God. And when your prayer life starts to weaken, you are under attack from the python spirit. He's trying to take your breath. He's trying to take your breath. Another warning sign that you're under attack is you're feeling overwhelmed by circumstances to the point where it starts to lead you to hopelessness. Overwhelmed by circumstances. I like how I was reading, and it said that word circumstances is made up of two words, circum, which is circle, and stance. So you're standing in the middle of a circle of all your problems and all your circumstances, and you're surrounded, and you're overwhelmed. Anybody ever feel overwhelmed? That you just feel like, man, this is too much. I don't know if I can handle all this. But thank God for his promise that he says that he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. But if God has given it to you, that means you can handle it by his grace. But many times we feel like we're surrounded. If we go this way and we feel overwhelmed, and we go this way and we feel overwhelmed and stressed out, and we go this way and we feel stressed out. Everywhere we go, we're stressed out. We just start tripping out. And all of a sudden, Satan starts planting those seeds of a bad attitude, and we start saying, "What's the use? Why even try? Can't get this right. I can't get this right. I can't get this right. What's the use? I give in. I give up." And we get tempted. We're so overwhelmed to throw in the towel and say, "Forget this." Anybody feel like that sometimes? Forget this. Overwhelmed by circumstance. This is a warning sign that you are under attack from that python spirit. He's trying to shut you down. He's trying to overwhelm you to the point where he takes your breath and he takes your voice. He's trying to bombard you with all kinds of problems and all kinds of situations. You see, it's in that time when we're surrounded by issues of life that we need to go to God all the more. Get out on our knees and begin to pray and begin to breathe in the Spirit of God. And all of a sudden, as you begin to breathe in the Spirit of God through prayer and through his word, he starts elevating you. You see, it's not about God coming down to your circumstances and meeting you where you at, but he wants to bring you up to his level of thinking, right? Because God is not fretting about the circumstances. He sits above those things. And the Bible says we are seated in the heavenlies with Christ. So you and I, too, as Christians, if we're breathing in the Spirit of God, we're above those situations and circumstances. God starts elevating our thinking, say, it's going to be all right. And that's when we got to come into faith and say, no, I trust God. I believe God. God's going to give me the strength and the grace. You know, just like Paul said, take this away from me. God said, no, I'm going to leave it right there, but my grace is sufficient for you. God wants to give you his grace to endure. Another warning sign that we're under attack, old habits and old lifestyles resurface. Old ways, old attitudes, old addictions, they resurface. Those old temptations return when you're not breathing in God's spirit and prayer, and that python spirit comes around you. All of a sudden, you get tempted in a way you haven't been tempted in a long time. Those old ways of living that you once defeated, that you once were walking on, that you know God once delivered you from, all of a sudden, they start to resurface in your life. Old sins, all of a sudden, that old girlfriend calls you up, that old boyfriend calls you up, hits you up on Facebook. Better watch out, the python spirit trying to grip you. Just because you defeated a sin once in the past, you conquered something, doesn't mean the enemy ain't going to try to entangle you again. That's just like pastor's always been preaching. You might have been delivered from Egypt, but Egypt's still chasing you. So if you don't keep moving forward and pressing in, amen, Egypt's going to catch up with you. Those old ways are going to creep up again. That's the spirit of Python. And last and final, one of the warning signs that you're under attack is you start pulling away from godly relationships. And this is sure to follow. If those old sins resurface, you're going to automatically start pulling away from godly relationships. You used to talk to pastor all the time. Now you don't want to call him no more. He calls you, you don't want to answer because you know you ain't right. You start pulling away from godly people in the church, and you start hanging out with negative people, worldly people, people that are thinking just like you. Rather than hanging out with somebody that's going to correct you and say, hey, brother, hey, sister, you ain't thinking right. People start pulling away from godly relationships. They start pulling away from the church, and they start missing church. When the devil starts telling you it's okay to miss a service here and there, it's not a big deal. That's a python spirit trying to grip your life. He's trying to take your breath and trying to take your voice. You see, it's when you don't feel like coming to church, you better get up all the more, man. I need to get to church because the spirit of Python is trying to get me. See, when that enemy starts coming upon you, that's not the time to miss church. That's time to be at the altar to get the enemy off your back rather than invite him in when you're by yourself. We're going to talk about that more in a little bit. But that's a warning sign. You start thinking it's okay to start missing church. So those are the warning signs that if you've fallen into any of those, you say, hey, man, the enemy's attacking me. He's been on me. That spirit of Python has wrapped himself around me. He's trying to squeeze the breath of God right out of my life. The question is, how do we break off the spirit of Python? How many want to break off that spirit of Python? We want to break them off. We don't want to be prey. I mean, it's one thing to be prey when you're out there in the world being defeated. But to be prey as a Christian with the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that Jesus had. And when Jesus walked around on earth, let me ask you something. In the Gospels, when Jesus was walking around, did he act like a victim and a prey? See, too many in church have a victim mentality. Ooh, come on, somebody, right? Gonna go off the nose this morning. Too many in the church are walking around like victims all the time. Oh, it's the church's fault. It's the pastor's fault. It's Obama's fault, man. It's his fault that I don't have a job and, you know, all this kind of stuff. This economy is why I can't get a job. And, you know, and we start walking around, we acting like victims all the time of why we can't do stuff. When Jesus didn't walk around like a victim, he was an overcomer. He was victorious. And he's given us that same spirit not to walk around like a victim of our circumstances and society, but we're called to be victorious. We're called to be more than conquerors. We're called to be overcomers in the name of Jesus. So we're going to break the chains of the enemy this morning. The five do nots to break the enemy's attack. Number one, do not forget who made you. You see, God created you and me with the storms in mind. He knew there was going to be trials and tribulation. He knew there was going to be a hard time, so he created us to be able to endure it. In Psalms 92:12, the Bible says, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree." I wonder why the Bible says palm tree and not oak tree. If you study hurricanes and you look at footage of hurricanes, when the winds get big, a hurricane will snap an oak tree in half like a matchstick. But a palm trees were built to bend, not break. Palm trees were built, and the Bible says the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. See, God has created us with the storms in mind. He's designed us with the fiber, with the right stuff, so that when the storm comes, no matter how big the storm, we won't break under pressure. We'll just bend. See, we need to bend sometimes. Bend to Jesus. Bend our knees to Jesus in the midst of the storm. And not break. So don't forget who made you. Number one, don't forget who made you. To break out that python spirit, don't forget whose child you are. You are not the child of the devil no more. Unless you're not saved. Unless you haven't given your life to the Lord. And at the service, you can give your life to the Lord and become a child of God. But if you're a child of God, the King of Kings, he's going to enable you and he is with you. Don't forget who made you. Because remember, we're made out of the same stuff, right? He made us in his own image. That means he took from himself and created us. That means we are created in God's image. We're made out of the same stuff. So we are able to walk in victory. Can I get an amen? The second do not of how to break the enemy's attack. Number two, do not forsake the time and the place of prayer. The time and place of prayer. See, there needs to be consistency within our lives, even in the storm, to make it a habit that we all need a specific time that we pray. Don't just say, well, I pray all day long. No. There needs to be a specific time that you set apart, that you plan ahead. See, if you don't plan it, you ain't gonna do it. It has to be in your schedule, and it has to be more important than going to work. Because let me tell you, is going to work going to give you the victory in Jesus' name? Is it going to break out that python spirit? No. There needs to be a specific time that we set aside for God. And not only a specific time, but you should have a specific place. This is my place. See, in my house, me and my wife, we both have a time and we have a place of prayer. I got my office. Amen. Everybody knows not to bother me. When I go in there in the morning, get my coffee, that's the first thing I do. Turn on the coffee machine, use the restroom, come out, my coffee's ready, get my coffee. I'm going to the time and the place of prayer. Put my coffee there, open up my Bible. Start reading the Bible, amen. Start letting God minister to me. Then I begin to pray and begin to call upon God. My wife has her spot. She's upstairs. She's in the upper room. She got her little place and her little time of prayer. See, you got to have that. It's got to be in your schedule. And how many know when that python spirit starts gripping us, he tries to take away that time and that place. I was telling me to get too busy. But don't forsake it. This is the number one thing. Too many stop praying when the spirit of Python starts attacking their life. But that's the very time where we need to pray the most. We're taking the only weapon that can defeat the Python spirit. You're allowing him to squeeze the breath of God out of your life. So when that, when you start feeling attacked out of any of those warning signs that we talked about, any of those start coming upon you, amen, all the more, you got to get to that time and that place of prayer. Just like Paul and Silas, they were going to the place of prayer. Don't forsake it. Too many stop praying. Don't stop praying, amen. In Acts 16, 25, so after Paul rebuked the spirit, amen, people got mad that they couldn't make no money no more. They stirred up the crowd. They arrested them. They arrested Paul and Silas. They threw them in jail. Can you imagine? Threw them in jail, taking away someone's earning. They cast out that spirit. And what was their reward? They got thrown in jail. Praise the Lord. But in verse 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. All at once, the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. See, Paul and Silas, they didn't allow that spirit to grip them. Even in their midnight hour, when everything was going wrong, they continued to pray and they continued to praise God. They didn't allow the enemy to take their breath or to take their voice. They continued to pray. And notice what it says, that it said they prayed aloud with their voices, because it says, and the other prisoners were listening to them. That tells me that Paul and Silas weren't just in the corner like praying silently. They weren't quiet. It says the other prisoners were listening to them. That means they were audible. They were using their voice. They were singing hallelujah, praise the Lord. And the prisoner's like, what? You're in jail. Praise the Lord. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to suffer for your name. And they were praying and they were praising God and with their voice. I want to talk to you for a few minutes here this morning of the power of praying out loud with your voice. You see, I believe because many are walking around defeated, and I believe part of the reason, see, the Lord's starting to minister to me afresh for a little while now about the power of the voice in prayer. And I had to change up my prayer life a little bit. And since I've changed up my prayer life a little bit, I've been walking in so much more victory. And so I want to share it with you. You see, too many pray quiet all the time. And the Bible says we can pray any way. There is a time to pray silently. But I believe the majority, many prayers, you know, like when you're at work and you're doing stuff and you're, you know, you don't necessarily have to be at work, you know, in the hospital, typing on your little computer and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know, that might be the time to pray silently. But in your time, in your place of prayer at home by yourself, or you're here at the church where it's okay to get a little loud sometimes, it's important to use your voice, because remember, the devil's after your voice. Why is it important to use your voice in prayer? Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death. The tongue, not your mind, the tongue has the power of life and death. So when you're praying with your tongue, you're creating life. When you're cursing with your tongue, you're creating death. See, the tongue has the power, not just your mind when you think and you pray silently. Yeah, there's power there. But the tongue, and Paul and Silas knew that, so they were going to praise God with their tongue. They were going to pray with their tongue because there was power of life and death in the tongue. Psalms 141, 1 through 3, the Bible says, I call to you, Lord, come quickly to me. Hear me when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Why would he pray that? Why? Because power of death and life is in the power of the tongue. He's saying, Lord, don't let me speak death, but let me speak life. Guard my mouth. Guard my lips. So I don't create death. Psalm 142, 1 through 2. It doesn't really sound like a quiet prayer. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my what? My voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell him my trouble. I call to the Lord with my voice. There is power in the voice when we pray. Psalm 55, 17 and 18. Sounds like the men's psalm. Evening, morning, and noon. Evening, morning, and noon. I cry out in distress, and he hears my what? My voice. He rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. See, many may oppose us, but if we use our voice to raise up to God in prayer, the Lord will defeat our enemies, and he will bring us out unharmed from battle. But we got to use our voice. Too many don't use their voice when they pray. And it's so easy for the enemy to step into the mind when we pray silently many times. And we start wandering, we start drifting, we start, ooh. All of a sudden, we're like, whoa, how in the world did I get here? My thoughts, you know, like, oh, in the name of Jesus, let me pray. Come on, if it happens to me, I know it happens to you. I start thinking about something that has nothing to do with prayer or God. And I got to focus. And when that happens to me, that's when I get up out my chair, I start walking, and I start praying out loud, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift up my voice. James chapter 3, starting in verse 3. James chapter 3, verse 3 is powerful. It says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we could turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it is set on fire by hell. The power of the tongue. Here, the Bible equates the tongue with like a bit in a horse's mouth or like a small rudder that steers a boat. You see, your tongue, just like this rudder that steers a boat, it might be a small part of your body, but it's your tongue that will steer your life. It's your tongue. This is the power of praying with our voice. Which direction are you steering your life in? What is your tongue speaking about? Is it speaking life or is it speaking death? Because your tongue will guide your life. This is why when we pray, we should pray with our voice and we should pray with our tongue because we're guiding our life towards God. We should also pray, when we pray with our voice, begin to pray God's word. The most powerful prayer you could pray is to pray God's word right back to him. And let me tell you something about praying God's voice, God's word with your voice. When you start proclaiming God's word, and you start praying God's word, And you start praying and say, God, Ephesians 3:20, God, you are able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to your power at work within me. You're able to do immeasurably more. You start praying that, and you start, you know, see what happens when you're praying God's word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so when you start praying God's word with your voice, you're building your own faith. You're getting faith for yourself. God, you can do immeasurably more. All of a sudden, your faith starts to build up. God, you can do so much more than I can even ask or imagine. I'm asking you for this little thing right here. But God, you can do immeasurably more. More than that. And all of a sudden, your faith starts to build up as you pray God's word. I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You start getting some scriptures. You start praying those things. And, you know, the scripture that says, you know, God says, what is too hard for the Lord? You start thinking about that. You start saying that. God, what is too hard? God, there is nothing too hard for you. And it starts building your faith. And all of a sudden, you, in the beginning of your prayer, you're like, oh, God, I need you. God, I need you. God, help me. God, I'm in a circle of circumstances. God, help me. God, heal me. God, deliver me. God, that's the beginning of your prayer. And all of a sudden, God, okay, I know you're able to do immeasurably more than all I ask or imagine. And you start praying his word. Oh, God, you made me more than a conqueror. Oh, God, you made me victorious in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, your prayer goes from, oh, God, help me to, oh, in the name of Jesus, you start proclaiming. And you start getting a little bold in your prayers. And all of a sudden, you have a faith that rises up inside of you. All of a sudden, the faith begins to rise. You start thinking somebody needs to be healed. And so I pray healing in the name of Jesus. All of a sudden, you start making declarations in the spirit, and things start to happen. Because you got a boldness. Why? Why? Because you have a faith. Why? Because you are speaking God's word in prayer. That always happens to me. You know, I start on my prayers like, oh, God, help me, Lord. Man, there's fatigue coming on me. Like this morning, last night, I got like a couple hours of sleep. And this morning, I was like, oh, Lord, hallelujah. And I just started praying, oh, shut da 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 da. I started praying. All of a sudden, the Lord starts stirring me up a little bit with his word. All of a sudden, I started seeing, you know, God, a face started to rise up within me as I began to pray and as I began to press in. And the Lord began to show me some things of what he was going to do this morning within the service, some things that he was going to do in the spirit. And one thing that he showed me, I'm going to start prophesying right now in the name of Jesus, stepping out by faith, amen. See, the Lord was showing me this morning when I was praying that he's going to bring spiritual healing this morning. Spiritual healing to somebody this morning. Spiritual healing, that's what the Lord was showing me. It was so strong in my spirit. I said I had the faith to step out. Okay, Lord, I'm going to lay hands and something's going to happen in the name of Jesus. I walked out of that all this morning, even during the worship. I'm still stirred up. I'm still, okay, God. Why? It started because I was praying with my voice and I was dead tired this morning. A couple hours of sleep. Got home at like 2-something in the morning. But I wasn't going to let the Python spirit take my voice. You see, the Bible is the sword of the spirit. But the sword of the spirit is only effective when spoken. You want to chop off the head of the snake? Start speaking God's word. Don't talk about me. Don't talk about the pastor. Don't talk about the church. Start speaking God's word. Don't complain. Don't be murmuring and complaining like the Israelites in the desert. Amen. Begin speaking God's word, and God's going to build your faith to rise you above those circumstances. See, the enemy is going to try to silence your voice because he knows that your voice is your greatest weapon against him. The Bible says that the believers overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. See, what's a testimony if it's not spoken? That's why some of you got to get to the rally this afternoon. You got to give your testimony, that spoken word, to overcome the enemy. You see, our voice is meant, was created to bring prayer and praise to God. Our voice was created to encourage and uplift one another. Our voice was created to proclaim the gospel to the unsaved. That's why the Bible says, preach the gospel to all of creation. But when you see what happens when that python spirit grips us, we start using our voice. The enemy starts corrupting our voice. Instead of using it to bring life and to build up, all of a sudden we use our voice and our tongue to bring death and to tear down. We start blaming God. We start speaking negative. We start speaking negative about people, about the pastors. We start speaking negative about the church. Oh, yeah, the church this and the church that and the church this. And all of a sudden we no longer witness to people and bring them to Jesus. That's why Ephesians 4, 29 through 31, the Bible says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for edifying and building up. Don't use your tongue for evil because it's steering your life. What direction are you going in? See, I know just by how you talk. What direction do you want to go in? What are you proclaiming with your voice? Is it leading you toward God? You see, your tongue, your voice, it's either bringing you closer to God, you know, through using your voice in prayer and praise and proclamation, or your voice is leading you and others away from God by talking negative and complaining and murmuring and talking death. It's not only leading you away from God, it's leading everybody that hears you away from God, which might be your own family members. So the power of the voice. The couple more do nots. So don't forsake the place of prayer. Thirdly, do not forsake the place of power. Getting ready for the landing pretty soon. Do not forsake the place of power. What is the place of power? It's actually the church. The church is the place of power. And the enemy will try to take you out of the church. Because you're strong here in the church. This is the place of power. God's anointing falls in the church. God has gifted the church with pastors and leaders. But you see, only a deeply rooted tree can weather the storms. If you don't have no roots, this is why it's important to get deeply rooted in the church, in the life of the church, in the ministries of the church. Because the deeper your roots go, when the storm comes, you'll be able to weather the storm. But the enemy is going to try to uproot you. And that's why you got them spiritual tumbleweed Christians blowing around. You see, tumbleweeds, they got no root, but they got no fruit either. No root, no fruit. You want to bear fruit in your life? Get rooted in the things of God. Get rooted in the church. Amen. Allow God to use you to build up the church. It's a place of power. See, let me tell you a little personal testimony of mine. I wanted to quit many, many times. I've been walking with the Lord now for like 16, 17 years. I've been in Victory Outreach 12 years. I've been here in Victory Outreach. There's been a lot of times I want to quit. I want to give up. Let me tell you something. There's been times I stopped praying and I stopped reading the Bible. As a leader in the church. Ooh. And that python spirit had me. He had my mind. My mind was all messed up. My thinking was all messed up. Amen. Everything bad was starting to happen to me. Inside of me. Devil got my prayer life. And he got my reading life. But you know the only reason why I'm here preaching to you this morning is because I didn't forsake the place of power, the church. I never left the church. I kept coming to the services, even though I was all messed up. I kept coming to Sunday, even though I was not wanting to hear nothing. I'm just going to be here because I got to be here. Amen. You see, because my whole life, I've rooted myself in this ministry. I've rooted my family in this ministry. My whole life is built up in this ministry. So it's a little bit hard for me to uproot because my roots are so deep. And that's the only reason I'm standing before you today is because I kept coming to church, even though I didn't even pray no more, even though I didn't even read the Bible no more. I just kept coming to church, amen, hearing the preaching with the, you know, not even wanting to hear it, amen. Sitting in the worship, I ain't going to lift my hand. You can't tell me to lift my hand. I don't feel like praising God right now. But I sat in the church, and when it's time and time again, the presence of God falls, and eventually the Spirit of God broke me out of that chain of bondage that I was in, where I could get back praying again, where I could get back reading the Bible again. But if you forsake the church, amen, you're out there on your own. And don't think that the world is going to influence you to pray and get back right with God. But when you're in the church, amen, you just sit there. Just come. Just be there. And I promise you, God will break you through, and he'll break that spirit of Python off your life. So don't forsake the place of power, the church, when you're coming under attack as the worship team makes their way. But root yourself in the church, in the ministries of the church. And I promise you, you'll be such a strong tree that like that palm tree, it'll be waging and warring. It'll be bending you and bending you and bending you. But let me tell you something, it won't break you. And it won't uproot you. Two more things. In closing, when that Python spirit comes upon you, do not forsake the power of partnership. Partnership with other believers. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either one of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. So do not forsake godly relationships with people in the church. We're here to make each other strong. That's what the church is here for. The body of believers is here for. That when you're weak, your brother or sister might come and help you and pray for you and believe God for you. You might not have the faith to shake off that spirit, but your brother or sister in the church might have the faith to pray for you in the name of Jesus. And it might be their faith that gives you the victory. The Bible says one can rout 1,000, but two can rout 10,000. See, the math don't add up. But there's power in partnership when you partner with other believers. But instead, what too many people do is they go and partner with the wrong people. They go partner with the negative, worldly people. You ain't going to get your breakthrough like that. You got to be careful who you're hanging out with. You got to be careful who you're talking with. I've heard it said before, tell me who you hang out with, I'll tell you who you're going to be. Are the people you hanging out with, are they going where you want to go in your walk with God? Are they bringing you closer to God? Are they challenging you to step up your game, to answer the call of God? Or are they agreeing with negativity? Yeah, you know what? You're right. Don't forsake partnership. Last and final point, to shake off the spirit of Python from your life, do not disconnect from pastoral protection. Do not disconnect yourself from pastoral protection. You see, God has given and anointed pastors in the church to shepherd the flock and to protect the flock from wolves. And when those wolves and pythons are attacking your life, this is the purpose many times of pastors. They see the python trying to grip you. But too many don't want to take heed to the advice of the pastor. Even though the pastor could see the python wrapped all around your life, choking the breath of God out of your life. pastors want to protect the flock. We are the flock of God. Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene, they're here to protect us, to watch out for us, so that when the enemy's around us and he's attacking us, he's there to help us shake that enemy off. But we got to come under the shepherd and allow him to speak into our lives. We have to allow him to direct our lives. And when he says there's a snake on us, you got to believe there's a snake on us. Rather than getting all defensive and saying, oh, no, man, no, I'm good, man, I'm good, it's all good. In 12 years of being in this ministry, I have seen thousands of people stop coming under Pastor Charlie. And let me tell you, they're not serving the Lord no more. It's not like they went on their own and they're doing good. I started to break a little bit because last night I seen on Facebook an old friend of mine, one of the leaders of our church. He was an ex-leader in our church. And where did I see him? What did he put on Facebook? He's there at Summerfest partying. He was a leader in the church. He was preaching. Now he's partying. I say, wow. But he stepped out of that pastoral protection. He didn't allow pastors to speak into his life no more. He thought he had all the answers. I said, God, let that not happen to us. Let us be rooted, God. Let us be rooted. See, I believe the enemy's been attacking some of us. But I believe this morning that we're going to shake them off. Let's stand this morning. What the Lord showed me this morning when I was praying, I believe he was showing me that he's going to bring spiritual healing this morning. That those that have been gripped by Python, gripped by the enemy, he's going to heal and he's going to break those chains of bondage. He's going to break that yoke of the Python so that you're going to be free to pray once again. Free with a fresh hunger and thirst for God. That your breath, he wants to breathe afresh upon you this morning and breathe into you the breath of life. With a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit to empower you to live a life of victory. And he's going to give some of you your voice back to begin to praise God no matter what's happening and to be able to proclaim the gospel to others. I'm going to open up the altars this morning. I want you to come. If you feel in any way you've been being attacked, and we're going to break off the spirit of Python once for all. See, Paul got so annoyed by the spirit that he turned around and said, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you got to be so annoyed by the enemy this morning. He is going to break that yoke of Python this morning. Receive it in your spirit. He told me this morning in prayer. And he's doing it right now. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Break that yoke of Python right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus. I rebuke the spirit of Python. In the name of Jesus. Oh, there's power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. He's bringing spiritual healing right now. He showed me. He's bringing spiritual healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Break it, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's breaking it. He's healing you spiritually. He's healing you spiritually right now. But what I want you to do, remember, is the power of the voice. I want everybody to raise your voices right now to God. Raise your voices to the Lord. Don't pray silently. I want every voice, speak, 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 speak it, speak it, speak it. Raise your voices to the Lord. Raise your voices to the Lord. Ora shakayada ba 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 siya. Hallelujah. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Use your voice to declare victory. Use your voice to break off the spirit. Say, spirit of Python, get up off me in the name of Jesus. You got to declare it. You got to declare it this morning. The power of life and death is in the power of the tongue. Oh, use your voice, use your voice, use your voice this morning. Don't worry, nobody's listening to you but God and the devil. The devil's going to hear you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Use your voice, use your voice. In the name of Jesus, break the chains. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I declare my victory in the name of Jesus. Oh, because of what Jesus did for me on Calvary. He shed his blood. He rose on the third day that I too shall rise. I too shall rise above my circumstances. I too shall rise up out of this grave, out of this situation. I begin to walk like a man of God. I'm going to begin to walk like a woman of God in the name of Jesus. Lord's doing miracles this morning. He's performing that spiritual healing. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. The anointing of the Lord is here this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, you're free this morning. You are free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. You're free. But let me give you a word of admonition this morning. The Bible also says that do not let yourselves be entangled once again. We're free right now. But we need to guard ourselves that we don't get entangled all over again. And this is how we're going to do that. We're going to use our voice on a daily basis, not only here, at your house. Get a place of prayer, get a time of prayer, and begin using your voice, and you start praying. Even if you don't know what to pray, you just walk around your house, you just say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise God in Hebrew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't know what to pray. You just walk around. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's going to do wonders. It's going to keep the devil out of your house. It's going to keep the devil out of your mind. Hallelujah. So establish it as a practice at home to begin to pray. Proclaim God with your voice. No matter what's happening, you get to that time and place of prayer. And you just say, hallelujah, I'm here to be with you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the miracles and the healings that you have performed this morning, God. I thank you for breaking the spirit of Python off our lives and giving us a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit. Oh, and I pray, Lord, that you would guard our lips and our mouths, Lord, just like the psalmist prayed, that we would not speak death, but we would use our voice to speak life, that we would use our voice to pray, use our voice to praise, and we would use our voice to proclaim the gospel in the streets today. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for what you've done this morning. We know this is only the beginning. Greater things are yet to come. Oh, we thank you. And with our voice, we give you all the glory, all the honor and the praise. For it's in Jesus' mighty name. And all of the church of God said, amen and amen. Come on, let's give Jesus a good hand of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, this afternoon, we got a prayer on. We got a praise on. We're going to go and get our proclamation. We're going to go proclaim the gospel on 37th and Valit. 37th and Valit at 1 o'clock. Amen. If you need directions, speak with myself. I'll give you directions. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you guys. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.